Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, as I was saying, Kamala Harris is expected to announce her running mate later today in what will be an important moment in this year's US presidential race. And while Harris has energised a demoralised Democratic Party after Joe Biden pulled out of the race, she is still trailing Trump, who remains the odds-on favourite to retake the White House. Might the running mate choice change that, though? I'm joined now by Greg Swenson of Republicans Overseas UK and by Larry Donnelly, law lecturer in University of Galway and columnist in the journal.ie. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much to both of you for talking to us. Larry, who do you think Kamala Harris is most likely to pick?
My guess remains that it will be Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. It looks to have narrowed down to him and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as the two potential running mates. Walz has his own strengths. I mean, he's from Minnesota, which is also a battleground state. But I do believe Democrats have an edge there, whereas in Pennsylvania, the race is really on a knife edge. And if you do the Electoral College math, I don't see how the Democrats win unless they win the state of Pennsylvania. Shapiro is the governor there. He's extremely popular, a Democrat, extremely popular, despite the fact that Pennsylvania is so close. He doesn't win Pennsylvania for Kamala Harris. Americans vote for the number one, not for the number two. But I think he certainly helps. And I think she needs to be ruthlessly transactional in that regard and go for Shapiro.
If we look beyond the maths, the Electoral College maths, what do both of these men, Walz and Shapiro, possibly bring to the ticket?
Well, Walz is arguably more of a centrist. I mean, he's from the upper Midwest. He possibly takes in other states. He served in the House of Representatives. Now he's governor. He has a wide range of experience in government. Whereas Shapiro, a little bit different background. He was his state's attorney general, like an attorney just like Kamala Harris, and an attorney general. He got elected governor then. Again, he's hugely popular. Shapiro is younger. Shapiro is about 50 or 51. Walz is a decade older. So look, both individuals have certain strengths. That's why they are in the final shakeup. But to my way of thinking, Shapiro is the better candidate for a whole host of reasons, not just because he could help deliver Pennsylvania. He's very articulate. He's whip smart. I think he'd be very good in a debate with J.D. Vance. So I think he ticks a lot of boxes. Perhaps the only negative maybe is that he is a Jewish man who is pro-Israel. That mightn't excite many on the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. But I think they'd have to take a long, cold, hard look at it and say, if this guy helps deliver Pennsylvania, we need to vote for him because at least he's vastly better than the alternative.
Greg, which combination do you think Republicans most fear? Harris Walz or Harris Shapiro?
I think on this, I mean, I think Shapiro more for all the outlined. I think
Greg, we're losing every second or third word there, I'm afraid. So what we might do is just get you to hang up and we'll reconnect with you. Larry, let me go back to you. Shapiro, you say, even though Walz is more centrist, does it not make sense for the Democratic platform, given how much walking towards the centre Kamala Harris now has to do, to go with a man like Walz?
Yeah, it's a fair point, Philip. You know, look, there is a school of thought that says that, you know, she should pick somebody more conservative. For instance, the governor of Kentucky was in the shakeup, Andy Beshear, which, of course, Kentucky is a blue state. He's a Democrat. He's managed to get elected there, and that perhaps that would be a better idea. But I do, and I hate to keep coming back to the Electoral College, when I look at the map, they need to win Pennsylvania. And even if this pick is only about winning the state of Pennsylvania, I think she needs to be that ruthlessly transactional about it, because she can forget about everything else, in my view, forget about all the other issues, all the other the rest of the campaign. If she doesn't win those Electoral College votes in Pennsylvania, I just don't see how she gets to the presidency. I don't see how she gets to 270.
Greg is back with us. Greg, what combination does Trump fear more, do you think? Harris Walz or Harris Shapiro?
I would think Shapiro. Shapiro's, you know, considered a moderate. I think, you know, the President Trump and J.D. Vance, I think, will argue that he's not as moderate as he would, you know, as people think. But he was a proponent of school choice. That's a big issue in electoral politics right now in America. And it's one that the Republicans really own. So I think that he was one of the rare Democrats to endorse school choice. Now, he hasn't actually delivered. And that's another topic that I'm sure will come up in debate and in the media, but he at least was considering it when he was running. And so I think that really helps the ticket because it's a very, very sensitive issue with a lot of parents.
Greg, how embarrassing, how damaging was Trump's performance at the Black American Journalist event just before the weekend?
I don't think it will hurt him in the long run. I mean, he took some heat for it, and I think some of that was deserved, some of it wasn't. But I think that's typical President Trump, right? He's very clumsy with his delivery. I'm being kind, but you know that people overlook that. What people care about is inflation, the economy, the open border, crime in the cities. So you know what President Trump says is always different with, you know, versus what he actually does and
do
what
you
he delivers.
Not think so, that any African American person looking at that performance who had been, you know, toying with the idea of voting for Trump would say absolutely no way after that?
I doubt it. I mean, if maybe on the margins, but look, what he's done for African Americans is arguably fantastic in terms of his term. So that's what people are looking at, right? So if he says, you know, silly things, they'll get over it. And you know, what he did in his term, you know, when wages in 2019 were up 6.8%. They were up in the mid sevens for African Americans. The you know, poverty reduction was greater for African Americans than it was for other ethnic groups. So, you know, look, we don't really do identity politics. We do our best to avoid it. But I think in this case, people are going to look at their wallets.
Larry, there's been so many occasions on which people have said, oh, Trump has really blown it this time. But then experience shows he never actually has.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, there's so many things that would have destroyed any other political candidate anywhere in the world, yet they bounce off Donald Trump. That is his greatest gift politically. He plays the game by different rules to everybody else. And that's been a key to his formula for success. But if he has a weakness on the flip side, it is that sometimes he thinks that all he has to do to win the presidency is to excite his base. And so when he does things like the interview with National Association of Black Journalists, of course, you know, his base gets a chuckle when they say, oh, Kamala Harris doesn't know if she's Indian American or black. His base might get a laugh out of that. But this election, as everyone knows, is going to come down to a few hundred thousand votes in a handful of states. And one wonders what key constituencies, such as suburban white women, such as people of color, one wonders what they are going to make of what he said there and what are the things that he continues to do. I think, you know, Trump remains, in my view, in pole position here. But the question becomes, can he get out of his own way? Can he keep the attack to inflation, immigration, the issues that resonate, rather than going so nastily for the jugular, in which case he tips the balance. He goes over to the other side and winds up being counterproductive.
Let's just bring the conversation back to the vice president and the second name on the ticket. Greg, what's your sense of how J.D. Vance is working out? Do you think that Trump is experiencing any buyer's remorse?
I don't think so. I think President Trump, you know, I'm with Larry on that. I mean, he creates these distractions, which takes the focus away from the issues that matter. And by the way, issues that he leads on. So, you know, he should just stick with that formula. And he fails to do that. J.D. Vance is much more articulate than President Trump. And I think he's delivering the message in a much better way. Of course, the first week, you know, the media is going to dig up, you know, quotes from 2021 that got himself and got J.D. in some heat. But I think, you know, that those are easily overcome. And I think he's doing a good job so far of articulating the message that people care about.
Greg, there's been an awful lot of speculation and commentary here that a Trump presidency is not going to be good for Europe, is not in particular going to be good for Ireland. I'm speaking really mainly about, excuse me, where corporate profits end up having to be registered. What do you think is going to happen there if Trump does win?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in many ways, people overlook the fact that, you know, Trump's first administration was actually good for Europe. You know, a strong NATO, in spite of some of the drama. You know, you've had 3 years in a row of 3% defense cuts in real terms by the Biden administration. That's, you know, and the U.S. is still half the NATO budget. So I'm not sure how that could be good news for NATO or Europe in general. In terms of, you know, trade and corporate profits, you know, he did do a good job in the first term of basically repatriating a lot of overseas profits, much of which were held in Ireland. And I think that might have an effect if he sticks with the 2017 tax reform. And I don't know that that's, you know, a deep negative, but it might be a negative on the margin again, specifically for Ireland.
All right, gentlemen, thank you both very much. Larry Donnelly and Greg Swenson. Let's take a break.